hello and welcome to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and if you're joining us for the very first time, I welcome you. This is such a fun place, and this is episode number 4, and the two other conversations that I've had with Extraordinary Moms, Emily Dixon and Jackie Shakespeare, have just been so encouraging. They have very different journeys that they've been on as moms, but I think that if you've heard those, you will agree that their positivity and outlook on life and the lessons that they've learned through motherhood and the various trials that they've been through, it just gives you hope. It gives you a sense of you are not alone as a mom. We all face challenges. We all have different things that were dealt within our own individual families. But what is unanimous across the board is that when we are doing the work of a mother with great love in our family, we are truly extraordinary. So I just want to celebrate moms and continue building this community. So I thank you for being here today. I want to thank Jackie for the past 2 episodes. We had so much to cover. I split it into 2, so I hope that you really enjoyed her story and that the lessons that she learned really resonated with you. I loved how she turned devastating news into a proactive and beautiful season of their family's life. And I've really been thinking more about savoring the moments, especially as I have a 6-month-old, just holding him and just cuddling him and celebrating his strong neck and celebrating each little milestone that he has. It's just so exciting to be a mom and to celebrate those moments if we just take the time to do that. I want to remind you to go over to iTunes and click subscribe. You guys, my birthday is on Thursday, January 14th. Happy birthday to me. And my gift to myself is the podcast. And let me tell you, your gift to me can be going over to iTunes and clicking subscribe to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. In addition, if you will leave a rating and a review, this will help people to find the podcast and help us to reach more and more moms every week as I bring you new interviews with moms with varying stories to share. And I hope that we just continue to grow our audience and just share in the joy that is motherhood. So thanks a lot for heading over to iTunes and doing that. In addition, you can visit my website, www.extraordinarymomspodcast.com, and you can listen to episodes straight on there. You can also find our show notes and additional information about the show and about the guests and pictures and all sorts of fun stuff over there. So I hope you will utilize that resource. Today we have a lighter episode, if you will. This is my best friend, Allison Faulkner, who is also known as The Allison Show. She is a professional party animal, ambassador of awesome, and she gave herself her own show. She's been blogging for quite some time and has gone from everything from a crafter to an e-booker to a party thrower and planner, and she just is the jack of all trades. I've known Allison since the 7th grade. She was the maid of honor at my wedding, and I just adore her. Today we'll talk about how Allison manages to do all that she does as a mom of 3, a wife, and a business owner as she's growing her brand. How does she manage to do it all? And you know, I think you'll be interested to hear her answer. She talks a lot about how important it is to seek out happiness in your life and her personal pursuit on her path to finding her very best self so that she can be the best version of herself for her children. We also talk about what a great mom looks like. I know you're going to be so inspired by Allison and her story, and I hope that you'll laugh along with us as we just enjoy some girl talk and also make over her sweet baby Fiona, who joins us in the episode as well. Let's get to the show. All right. Guys, this is going to be a party because we have the Allison Show on the phone right now. Hello, Allison. I don't usually introduce my guests like that, but I feel like who you are warrants like quite the like MC, like, let's put your hands together for I don't know what song that is, but if you had a song, that would be it.
I've done it to myself so many times that maybe other people feel pressured to do it.
I think maybe so. You are Allison Faulkner. I'm just so glad to be talking with you today because we talk on a regular basis somewhat when we're both feeling like we have life under control. And usually we're like in the car on the way, or we're perusing Target or Joann's. You more so Joann's than me. Yeah, I can't.
We're driving through and getting a soda.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And so we've been friends a long time.
A really long time.
And now you're like a mogul, and I know Allison Faulkner, so this is like thrilling. But in all seriousness, thanks for coming on the show. I think you are an extraordinary mom, and you're extraordinary at a lot of things. So I'm excited for our conversation today.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. Well, thank you.
We'll see.
Oh, I'm excited for the conversation. We'll just see about being extraordinary.
Well, we'll let the listeners be the judge of that. But I'm pretty sure the consensus will be that you are. So we met in the 7th grade. And do you remember how we met? In Miss Moyer,
we were assigned.
In Miss Moyer's class, we were assigned to do an essay on somebody that we didn't know as well in the class. And usually people just partnered up with people that they knew anyways. But you just really stepped outside the box and you're like, I don't know you. Let's do this.
I'm actually like a huge rule follower. Like for funny things like that. Like
something that people don't know about you.
Yeah.
And so I learned about you in that essay that you, A, played the flute, and B, you had a lot of siblings, and that was my takeaway, but I also figured out that you were really awesome, but...
I love that that's what you remember.
That is what I remember, truly. And we were friends, but we weren't, like, tight friends until high school, and I would say the culminating event that really bonded us for life was planning the junior prom. You were ASB president.
First-hand crazy, the first big event I ever planned.
Yeah.
You were there.
This was the start of the party planning empire.
Yes.
Yes. No, and I was there. You were in a closet in the fetal position sobbing because maybe there weren't. It was kind of a beachy theme and there wasn't enough sand or there were shells or
the
something.
Sand, so I got these bottles and we were going to put sand in them and the sand was leaking out of the bottles.
But you're over
it. I'm 100% over it. I've moved on because I can't remember how much each of my children weighed, but I can remember when they were born, but I can remember what was wrong with the event.
Yes.
Oh gosh, I can't even believe that I can remember that.
I don't know why that sticks out. I don't know why that sticks out. It's funny the things that just stick in your mind. The other day, was it Parker? Yeah, so my Parker is almost 6 years old. He's like, Mom, it seems like since you had the baby, you just like can't really think of words anymore. I literally like, I'll start talking and then like poof, it's just gone. And what was I going to say? And what was that one simple word? And even my almost six-year-old is noticing. So, man, motherhood just does it to you, doesn't it?
I'm trying to kill
us. So anyways, we are here to talk about motherhood in addition to your business stuff. But why don't you just give me some background on yourself, but then also for people that don't necessarily know you, and then also kind of getting married and starting your family and stuff.
Okay. Well, I'm Allison, and I like to say I gave myself a show, which is just a joke, because it's very tongue-in-cheek, and so it's the Allison Show, and but that means I blog, I'm on YouTube, lots of Instagram, Snapchat, you know, all that social media crap, and then I also, more recently in the last couple of years, have started hosting very large all-female dance parties. And so I think that's one thing that people may or may not be familiar with me.
How did you get that idea in the first place? I mean, you've always loved to dance.
Yeah, because you know that I've always done dance parties, though.
Right.
Like, in college, I threw tons of dance parties, like, just at my house.
Slow dance parties, theme parties.
Mm-hmm. We did a 70s party where we covered our entire living room in tinfoil. It actually made the room really hot, so don't do that. But made it like an oven. It was terrible.
Bonus tip from the party planner extraordinaire.
Yeah, don't cover floor to ceiling in tinfoil.
Okay.
And yeah, so I've always loved doing events and parties and bringing people together and dancing. And so how the dance party started is I started dancing on Instagram when Instagram got video, because Jessica can attest that seemed perfectly reasonable and normal to me.
Absolutely.
Like, if you know, like, there's video. Finally, I can show everybody, like, what I really want to do is dance to this song.
And what you're just doing on a daily basis in your kitchen anyway. You're not putting on a show, necessarily. No. You're just, you dance all day long.
Sincerely, it just seemed like very, like, this is what most people would do. It didn't occur to me that anybody would think it was, like, funny or anything other than normal. Mm-hmm. And so people enjoyed the dancing, and then I decided after they enjoyed the nonsense, and then I decided to do some dance-offs on Instagram, because it was like, people have been, baby's getting hungry. I have a 4-week-old child who's going to want a nurse during the interview. Heads up for everyone.
You're an extraordinary mom. Multitasking.
I'm a mama bear.
There you go.
And I'm a milkmaid. And so I did the dance-offs. Mm-hmm. And then my good friend Susan Peterson owns Freshly Picked. And her business, it's a moccasin shoe company business. And it was, you know, up and coming, hot ticket item. She's, you know, fabulously successful now and then. But this was before she's been on Shark Tank. I mean, she's just grown her company crazy. But she had a really good year, and she wanted to throw an appreciation party for her customers. And I had kind of been doing events here and there, you know, as I was growing my brand. And she was the first person who was like, hey, here's some money, like, do a party. And we decided that we were going to do a dance party. And that was, like, kind of my first foray into doing that, because nobody had ever, like, given me the money to do it.
It's way more fun to spend somebody else's money.
It is. It's way more fun. And also, she just really believes in me and trusts me. And I worked with another good friend from college named Kimmy Crosby. Uh-huh. And she had worked with a really professional event planner. And so that gave me just, like, a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
That, like, okay, like, I'm just pretending I know what to do. But Kimmy's worked with a professional. And Kimmy's very, very good at being like, that's a good idea, Allison. It's not stupid, and making me feel good. So
Right. You need one of those.
So it really was like the support of two other moms. Oh, no, I'm going to cry because I've had a baby and everything touches me.
4 weeks
like,
ago,
it was the support of these other moms and friends being like, yeah, sure, throw a dance party. So I did that on behalf of Freshly Picked, and that was the first all-female party. And I will say, though, like, the formula of it, like, there are certain things that I do for dance parties. Like, nobody else was doing them.
Yeah.
Because of my experience in college during these parties, I felt like I knew exactly what to do to foster an event where I could get people to dance. And key being that it's all female, and they're sober, because we live in Provo, Utah, and that's usually the norm, is there's not alcohol at our events. Mm-hmm. And I don't drink, so there's just not alcohol there. And so,
but the soda is flowing.
Soda is
That is one of your key ingredients. That'll be the secret tip. Yes.
Caffeine. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first dance party. And then from there, I started doing them. I started doing parties professionally for other brands. And then I was working with Microsoft, and they had trusted me up to a certain point. And then I said, hey, we're going to be doing this party in Provo. Let me turn it into a dance party. And they let me do that. So, yeah, so that's how it started. And now I just do them for myself, because I'm a big enough diva and you know, like, have enough delusion that I'm like, I shall throw the party and the people shall
come. They will come.
And every single time they come, my jaw hits the floor and I start crying in shock that anybody bought a ticket to the party and that anybody wants to come. And everybody, it's, like, annoying for my husband and other people. They're like, the parties sell out within hours every time. But you worry every time. I never believe that they're going to sell out. I never think anybody's going to want to come, because mostly I don't want to go to anything other than Netflix on my couch. So it's always shocking to me that people want to do anything, because I don't want to do anything unless I'm, like, throwing it and having a nervous breakdown. So.
What do you think gets moms out of the house? Like, because you're not focused. Your niche is not just moms. It's women.
I actually usually don't do things. Like, I don't participate with things that have mom in the title, other than make special exceptions
me.
For my bestest friend.
Thank you.
No, just because I don't like to alienate any of my audience.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't think that participating in some mom things here and there is doing that, is alienating people. But
But a lot of the people at your dance parties are moms. So what do you think it is that's driving moms in droves out of the house?
I'd say 70 to 80% are probably moms.
Okay.
And I think honestly it's just that people are receptive to you putting yourself out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm a mom and I don't define myself as a mom. I define myself as a person who is a mother and who does all these things, and being a mother is part of that. And so I think I appeal to moms because they, you know, can relate to me.
Right.
But also I think it's because, you know, I'm sharing my story and it, you know, it just brings people together. And so I think the key is that's the whole thing is I'm not saying mom's night out. I'm just saying come and have fun for you, you, the person.
Whoever you are in whatever season.
Forget for a minute that you define, you know, the way we define ourselves in our mind, it can be so limiting. And I just want to talk about what's going to make you happy and you feel good. And me, I just feel really lucky these last few weeks that anybody listens to anything I have to say.
No, it's so true. Because it's like,
a joke.
Yeah, no, it's so true. Whatever they did during the day, it's like they can just put that away, put that aside for just a moment and just indulge in just enjoying themselves. And I think that's what you have to offer people.
I think one reason why a lot of moms do end up coming is because I make it comfortable for them because there's not other men there.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these women who are married, where's a situation where you can go dancing and not feel like you're putting yourself out there to other guys, you know, like. And even if you're not doing that, those aren't your intentions. A lot of women don't feel comfortable dancing in front of men.
Yeah.
After they get married, they kind of lose that part of themselves, or they hide it away, or they forget about it because they're busy and they're doing other things. I don't know when – it's so funny because I was thinking, I'm like, I'm okay saying I'm extraordinary at certain things. I don't necessarily think I'm an extraordinary mom.
Hmm.
I think that I'm a mom, and I don't know. I don't feel – I don't know. Yeah. But I'm extraordinarily good at getting people to dance.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing to be good at, and you're bringing out the best in other people. And I think that's huge. And I think moms often downplay the value of what they're doing as a mom. I mean, you know that you're good at a lot of different things, but you are an extraordinary mom not because of any, you know, beautiful birthday party you throw your kids, or because, you know, you're on the floor playing with them for hours and hours on end, if that's the type of mom that you are. You're an extraordinary mom because you are loving your children so fiercely, and you are accepting that role to love them and guide them as best as you possibly can, and put yourself aside as you pursue that role. And I just think that's huge.
Beautiful.
And you're extraordinary because
people should listen to you. You're very insightful.
But I think we're so hard on ourselves, and even if we think, oh, today was a good day, I was a great mom today, we never say that out loud because that's like boastful.
It's like saying I look hot today.
Yeah, that's like not appropriate.
It's true, and it's so funny because I actually feel comfortable to over 70,000 people on my Instagram being like, oh my gosh, like look how hot I look in these sunglasses. But I don't feel comfortable ever saying, I totally like killed it as a mom today. It's just funny. It's like we all have these different insecurities. And I think it's one reason why I actually don't like talking about motherhood a lot online. It's one thing I actually don't talk about a lot, because when I first had Ginger and talked a little bit about motherhood, when anybody offered any suggestions, I felt so attacked and self-conscious because I felt like I was doing such a bad job.
Yeah.
That it was like I was too vulnerable to put myself out there. And I feel like with this third baby, I can talk about it a little bit more from a place of me as a person instead of me as a mother.
Yeah.
And I'm always more comfortable talking in that way. And it's not because I think anybody who talks about it differently is doing it wrong. It's just because I just, you know, I'm okay being very vulnerable to a point, and that's just like a line I don't like people maybe suggesting that I'm doing it wrong, because, like, I already think I'm doing it wrong.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. We don't like to bring our own insecurities to the forefront and put it on the stage for people to evaluate. So that's why people put out on social media, you know, the glowing aspects of, you know, whatever their day entailed, but then who knows what the rest of the day looked like, you know? And, and if we judge, if we judge other people's highest points during the day against our lowest points during the day, we're always going to fail.
And that's essentially what social media is.
Yeah.
You know, people's highest points. And I think it's really easy for people, you know, something that people say to me a lot that is very kind and I really do appreciate is that I'm so real.
Yes, like, I totally
agree. Thank you for being so real and so raw and so open. And that is, I appreciate that, but it's also just how I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm so great at being real and raw. What I'm saying is, like, if you meet me in person, if you're my close friend, you know that I'm just going to immediately start telling you all my flaws.
Right.
And make a joke of it. It's just how I am. And so I think that these other women who aren't that way can be persecuted. It, like, and I use that word sincerely for them only showing the glowing moments. And, but that's okay. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's all okay. Yeah. Everybody's doing a great job.
Whatever we want, whatever you want to put out there, like, I'm the same way. Whatever I want to put out there, it's fine.
Yeah.
But I think as an individual, you have to be careful not to, you know, say, oh, I wish I could have a house just like hers. Or it's the comparison trap.
It is.
And so if you get sucked into that, you know, that's where you start to kind of sink.
Exactly.
But if we can, I mean, I want this podcast to be a place of celebrating mothers of all strengths and in all phases and in all seasons, because no day is going to go perfectly. No week is going to go perfectly, but you can still feel confident and proud of yourself for doing the job of loving your children the best way you know how. You can be proud of that. And I think we should be able to say that.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that.
Yeah. So you have three children. And
I do.
is motherhood what you thought it would be?
I've never thought about it. I'm serious. I didn't think about it. That's not how I operate. Like, I remember getting pregnant with my first and thinking, wow, this is horrible. Why doesn't anybody talk about it? Are you kidding? Everybody talks about it. There's movies. There's books. Like, everybody talks about it. I just wasn't listening because I didn't care because it didn't apply to me.
Oh, my gosh.
and that's just how I, that's kind of how I think. Like, I'm so worried about the stand that won't fit in the bottle.
Yes. From 15 years ago.
15 years. Like, no, like whatever the stand in the bottle is right now.
Metaphorical stand in the bottle.
Like, it's as an example of, like, I am focused on this crisis. I am wholeheartedly in this crisis, in this mode, and I'm not going to deal with that until I have to deal with it. And that's just kind of like, that's, I'm not, you know, that's how I plan my life too.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just not a huge planner in certain ways. People are like, when's your next dance party? I'm like, whenever I feel like it.
Right.
And so.
And then you'll do it next week. Yeah.
And until I'm done with the dance party, I'm not going to talk about the thing that's happening after the dance party.
Yeah.
And so it was just, it's really funny. Like, what did I think motherhood would be like? I didn't think about it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think not a ton. It's not that I never thought about it. I knew that I wanted a family. I had my mother as an amazing example. My mother is a phenomenal mother, very giving, very caring. I have a really good relationship with her. And so I think, you know, subconsciously or just, I just assumed, you know, that's like kind of how it goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And there were certain things that I knew that I wanted to do. Like, my mom speaks really kindly to us.
Mm-hmm.
She never says, like, oh, that's a dumb idea. Even joking.
Right.
And again, if other people speak that way, again, that's totally fine. You know, everybody, but for me, like, really speaking very kindly to my children and never saying their ideas are dumb. I actually don't, like, love teasing, and not because I think there's anything wrong with it, just because I'm a sensitive person. I don't love teasing.
Yes.
And it's funny because my daughter Ginger's like me. She doesn't love teasing, even if it's very good natured fun teasing.
Right.
She's kind of like, meh. You know, she doesn't hate it, but we're not, like, huge fans of it.
Right.
But my son, Rad, he loves to be teased. He loves it. He loves it. He loves it. And so I have to kind of go out of my way to, like, remember to tease him because he loves it. Yeah. So it's just interesting. I knew that there were some things that I wanted to do just like my mom. I would be in the grocery store and I would hear other moms, you know. It's not that my mom never yelled or got mad, you know. But she never called us names or said we were stupid or said our ideas were stupid. Mm-hmm. She's just very, very tender in the way she spoke to us.
Yeah.
And I try to do that with my kids.
That's awesome.
You can't interview people 4 weeks after they have a
baby. I know. You're so good to do this. You're so good to do this. No, I think, I mean, how many times have you looked at your child and what they're dishing to you? Is what it's like looking in a mirror and what you've dished out. I mean, if I've said, like, we don't yell in our family as I'm yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm like a recovering yeller. Like, I will say, I have come a long ways with like raising my voice. I am able to stay much more calm these days. And so I feel good about that progress that I've made because I've identified that's not helpful because the more that I am behaving in a way that I would not want my children to behave. There's Fiona.
Fiona just emerged.
I wish you all could see baby Fiona right now.
You can on my Instagram.
Okay, follow the Allison Show. Oh, she's so cute. We need to be in the same place. This is not good enough. Anyways, we need to behave in the way we want our children to behave. And so many times, as a parent, you kind of act like a toddler. And
I act like a toddler more than the toddler.
Do you apologize to your children? Do you ever do that? Yeah. I think that's a huge tool. I think when they can see that modeled, that even as adults, like, mom made a mistake, and I can see that, and I'm willing to fess up to it, and I'm going to try harder not to do that again. I have seen such a huge difference in my children apologizing to each other, to me, and then trying harder to do better. And that's all we can ask for. Just try harder to do better the next time.
Yeah, I think the other thing, and you were touching on this earlier, is I was having a really hard time when I was pregnant with Fiona, just because I've written about it a lot. I have a hard time being pregnant.
Yeah.
I get very depressed, very anxious, and lots of physical trials on and on, boo-hoo, you know.
But it's legitimate,
Yeah, and so I have a great counselor that, like, I was talking to, and I said, I'm just not a good mom. I'm going to be a bad mom. I'm bad at this. And she was like, what is your definition of a good mom? And I thought that was so interesting because here I am just saying I'm a bad mom because I need to work in order to feel fulfilled. I'm not just fulfilled being at home with my children. And that was making me feel like a bad mom.
Okay.
I didn't realize, but my true definition of what a good mom is, isn't somebody who only is with their children. So it was like, I have a definition. It's not that I don't have a definition of what a good mom is. It's just like, I wasn't using that for myself.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so I think, it's kind of really changed the way when I think, oh my gosh, I'm not being a good mom, or am I a good mom? Did I do enough? Instead of having those thoughts, I've been trying to think like, okay, what is it that I want to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
What is my definition of a good parent? And did I meet those requirements rather than just grasping at straws and crying about it?
Well, yeah. And when you think of all the moms you know that you really admire and you think are great moms, I mean, do any of them look alike?
No.
No way.
No.
Are they doing the same cookie cutter activities with their children or behaving, you know, talking to their children a certain way? No. But you can still appreciate them for being the best mom they can to their kids. And we have to have that same grace with ourselves. We do not have to, you know, follow any certain manual for parenting, aside from keeping them alive. But, I mean, how our family dynamic runs and our relationship with our children is so personal. And it's evolving. It doesn't have to just be static. And every season is going to look different. Toddlerhood is hard.
It's really hard. And Jessica sent me a list of some questions to look at before you sent this and before we chatted. And one of the questions that you sent was, what is some of the best piece of parenting advice that I've ever received?
Yeah.
And
way to get this interview back on track, Allison. Way to go.
No. What you were saying,
let me go ahead.
Take a hold here, Jessica. No. What you were saying reminded me of that best piece of advice, and it was from my really dear friend Susan. It wasn't even like a piece of advice. I was talking about how frustrating it was that Ginger kept taking her shoes off in her car seat.
Mm-hmm.
This was, she was like two.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, I remember that phase. Mm. And it was my first baby. And it was like, it occurred to me like, oh, it's just a phase.
Right.
This isn't just how they're going to be all the time. And another thing that Susan had said is, you know, like, just because you're not a mom who loves every minute of the baby phase or the toddler phase, maybe you're like, you're going to be the best mom for a teenager, yes. The best mom a teenager could ever have. And I think that instead of thinking I'm going to be the best mom, you know, through all, you know, 60, 70 years of my kid's life,
mm-hmm.
I think, you know what, I'm going to do the absolute best I can having babies and toddlers, knowing that for my personality that this is like a tough time for me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I'm going to feel like this the entire time I'm a mom.
Yes.
I might just absolutely dominate with my middle schoolers.
Right.
But I might just be amazing with a team of high schoolers, you know. I just would also like to point out that I'm nursing this tiny baby. And I just moved into a new office, and I don't have any blinds on my windows, and I'm on a very public street. And all of these photography students are just showed up for a project.
Stop
and they're
it.
All walking by my window.
Stop
and
it.
I'm just, I mean, I've got extremely huge boobs, and they are out, man. So I just wanted
Stop.
To share that with
Stop
the listeners.
It.
That you know, sometimes you just gotta...
You gotta make the sacrifice.
Sometimes your boob is whipped out.
You know? You know? take that, all the public places that don't accept breastfeeding. How about that?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my
poor
goodness.
College students. They don't even see that. That's
well,
going to scar them.
Maybe that will help them to make good choices in the future and save the baby thing for marriage. How about that?
Exactly. Well, that's what I always try to tell people, though. I'm like, my chest didn't look like this before nursing. This isn't how it looks all the time.
Yes.
This is a special time in your boob's life when you're nursing. It doesn't always look like this.
And it's a phase. And it will not always be like this.
Look at you.
Look at me trans. See, I am the host of this thing, even though you have to ask yourself the questions.
I love that because like you're saying, think about all the moms that you respect and admire. Do they all look the same? And who's the person who has given me my favorite piece of parenting advice? She works full time and her husband stays home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Traditional's kind of gone out the window in this day and age. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's just so interesting because it's like, I have, you know, friends like you who I respect, and you're just a completely different mom. Like, you're just so selfless, and you give yourself over to your children so wholeheartedly. You know, it's just, you know, like, I learn different things from you. I just, it's just, we're all doing a really good job.
We're all extraordinary. We really are. No, I think that is just, that is so true. And I think as we try and balance, well, I don't like the word balance, so strike that.
Balance is a hysterically terrible word.
Yeah, no, I think so. But as we try and combine the different aspects of our life, so you are a mom as one role, you're also a wife, and you can't neglect that role either. You are also a business owner. You're also a dreamer. I mean, and so how, when you think about your life, when you think about pursuing your dreams and wanting to kind of do it all, even though I don't mean like, how do you do it all? But you know, when you're trying to like combine all those different aspects of your life, how do you best go about that?
This is so funny. I just remembered that I actually have gotten the same piece of advice like twice from two different people.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in a PR office, with this phenomenal woman named Shauna Valentine. Her son actually was the drummer for Maroon 5.
Ooh.
And she had just this, her children were grown, and I just was so enamored with her. You know, I wasn't married and I didn't have kids, but she was working and she had led this political life and career, and her children were also accomplished. And I was like, you know, how did you do that? You know, you had four, I think she had four or five kids. They were all really accomplished and had cool careers. She herself was working and had done all these cool things.
Yeah.
And she just said, there's just different seasons in your life.
And here you are looking at her. She's done so much and she's raised all these kids. But it's like, she still has so much life left to live.
Exactly.
And yeah. She's still a person. So I think you have to continue nurturing your goals and your interests all along the way.
Yeah.
It's kind of like nurturing your marriage, too. You don't want to neglect that, because someday the kids will be gone. You're going to have free time. Your husband's going to be the only one in the house, hopefully, if your kids launch. And, you know, you want to have some place to go with that.
Yeah, and I've always really loved that there's different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the same thing as thinking of, you know, your life in different phases, and being a mother and being a parent in different phases. It's the same message, which is a message that obviously resonates with me, because what I try to do is I try to, you know, eat the whole antelope or whatever.
Yeah, right,
the whole
right.
Zebra, right?
Yeah.
I try to tackle the whole thing.
I think it might be elephant.
Is it elephant? It's elephant.
Eat the elephant. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time?
One bite at a time.
I think it's elephant.
I think a little bit of Lion King with, like, the antelopes and the earth.
The circle of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what it comes down to is...
Yeah.
And that's why I've enjoyed Fiona in this newborn phase.
Baby number three.
I'm not a huge, like, mm-hmm. I see a newborn and I'm like, give me that baby, I'm gonna eat it alive. Like, I'm like, your baby's so cute. Like, especially after having babies, I appreciate it more.
Right.
As she's grunting into the, do you hear those baby noises?
They're perfect. They're perfect.
I'm able to appreciate it so much more this time, even the third time around, because if we have a hard night where she cries during the night and we don't get any sleep, I know that next week could be completely different.
Yes. See, that's what I told you. But right before you had the baby, I said, like, Matt, third babies are kind of magical because your expectations are just so different. That first,
I have no expectations.
Exactly.
I don't have any.
Oh, my gosh. That first baby where you were up in the middle of the night rocking that baby and patting him and hoping they'll go back to sleep and thinking, they're never going to sleep again. And my husband was like, Jessica, if you stop crying, maybe he'll stop crying. You know, like, you just...
You
think it's never going to end, and, like, it will always be like this, and so once you have that perspective that there are seasons, there are phases, and, you know, tomorrow could be a whole different day, and you could sleep 4 hours in a row, and you will feel like a new woman, you know?
Yeah.
There's that hope, but with that first one, there's no hope. There's no hope, but you kind of have amnesia to that, and usually allow yourself to have another one if you want one, because... you kind of forget how hard that is, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think you forget, because I think one of the biggest blessings in my life was that my first baby, Ginger, who is exactly like me, it's terrifying, she taught me from day one, because she was very colicky, that I had no control.
Mm.
And as a control freak, perfectionist, anxiety-ridden person, what could be a better lesson to learn your first time around as a parent than you aren't in control of this. You're not in charge.
Yeah.
Yes, as a parent, you are in charge to an extent, but it's not the Allison show.
No.
Right?
No, it is not.
It's not about me. And that's the lesson, you know, that I learned with her. And that's just kind of how I parent is, man, it's not about me. It's just not about me.
Yeah, but you're also trying to teach your children it's not the Ginger show. It's not the Rad show. It's not the, I mean, you obviously, you know, there's a time where they're completely dependent and it is all about them, but you want them to be able to look outside themselves as well as early in their life as possible to see the big wide world out there, and there's other people, and it's not all about them. And the sooner people learn that, the more successful they're going to be, you know?
It's so true. And that's one amazing thing that your children teach you and can teach you. And just for me, that, you know, like, letting go, just letting go.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest lesson. And I have to learn it, you know, every day in every different way.
Right.
And make a limerick about it, apparently. But
but I don't think we should ever beat ourselves up for not learning a lesson the first time. You know, or forgetting it. Or because you're in the moment as a mom and you just kind of react a lot of times. But the more you try and consistently act intentionally and speak intentionally to your children and think out how you want the day to go, it's not going to go according to plan. But the more you try to be intentional about it, the best chance you have, I think.
It's so mm-hmm. true. And I love that, you know, the intentions and being intentional. For a while, I just was working. You know, my husband lost his job when I was pregnant with Rad. Mm-hmm. And we both decided that we were going to work for ourselves. So I had already been blogging. You know me, I've been blogging for over 10 years.
Right.
But I decided I was going to be, you know, turn it into a profession and make money.
Right.
And so every free second that I wasn't being a mom, I was just working, 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 working. And Eric was doing the same, working, working, working. And then things started to go well, and I started to, you know, actually have things that I was working on that were making money. And that's when I had to stop and decide, okay, like, how, now I have two kids. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to be able to be sane, not have, you know, breakdowns, anxiety attacks.
Right.
As a mom. And I tried it both ways. So I worked, and I felt sad. I wanted to be with my children a little bit more. And then I tried staying at home more and not working and saying no to projects. And I was probably even sadder and more depressed.
Yeah.
And so the last year while I was pregnant was spent trying to strike that balance between how, you know, what is my definition of a good mom?
Mm-hmm.
How much do I work? When do I work? And then how do I also be a person who's a happy person?
Right.
And because that's what my kids need is a happy person, not just a happy mom, but a happy person.
Absolutely.
And so for me, the balance that I've struck is I'm usually at home with my children in the morning. Ginger this year is in preschool, and then in the afternoon I have a babysitter come while Rad is napping and Ginger's home, and she gets one-on-one attention from that babysitter or has a play date with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I leave the house, and that was key for me.
Mm-hmm.
I tried staying at the house because it made me feel like I was a better mom because I was in the house. No, because then I felt like a worse mom because I was in the house and it was don't bug mommy, don't bug mom.
Right, right.
And I hated it.
Right.
I hated it. And that also has to do with the layout of my house.
Yeah,
if my house was laid out differently, maybe it would work better. But the way that my house is laid out, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And the children, it became, honestly, that song of don't bug mommy, and I hated it.
Right.
I always want them to bug me, you know,
right.
I don't want them to think that they can't bug me. I want my kids to bug me, you
yeah,
know,
and right.
That was my definition of a good mom, is a mom who can be bugged, you know?
Yeah, right.
And so,
who's never too busy. Yeah.
But also I realized when I didn't get that alone time away, out of the house alone, 100%
yes.
away, I was just snapping and crying and having breakdown after breakdown. And I'd have to call my husband and, you know, because I had that luxury of he doesn't have a traditional 9-to-5. I could be like, you need to come home. I'm losing it.
Yeah.
And he wasn't getting any work done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean? And he had this crying wife. And so I just was so stubborn for so long. I didn't want to hire any childcare that wasn't like their aunt or my in-laws.
Yeah.
And I just, it made me feel so bad and wrong. And I don't know. Like, I would never think any less of anybody else for doing
it. Yeah, it's all self-inflicted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up finding, you know, this great babysitter, and now I have another great one. And they usually are just there in the afternoon. And then a couple times a week, maybe I'll be gone in the morning too. And I'll have a whole day to myself. And again, I get that is a luxury because it's expensive to have childcare.
Yeah.
But it's also, it's something I consciously chose to figure out how to afford.
Right.
You know? And
yes.
So, again, like, I'm not just working to make money for a profit. I'm working because it brings me joy. It makes me happy. It makes me feel like I'm contributing to the world. But it also makes me feel like I'm being the best version of myself for my kids.
I love ultimately. That. I love that. No, I think... We should all be more introspective about, okay, what would make me the happiest? How can I possibly,
yeah.
you know, light up in front of my children? Because I want them, we all want our kids to see the best version of ourselves. And
yeah.
and if we're depleting our cup all the time, like, that's no, even if we're home, you know, 100% of the time, that's no version to give your children.
No, mm-hmm. because here's what I think. And this is kind of a bold opinion, and I don't want to offend anyone. People who say, you know, I work because I want my kid to see that, you know, mommy goes out and works and mommy's making her dreams come true. Honestly, I don't think your child cares. I don't think, like, down the road when they're an adult, they might care.
Yeah.
But I think your 10-year-old or your 5-year-old is only going to ever say, I want to be with you more, Mom.
Right.
I want you home more. I want you here more. I want you to play with me more. It's never going to be enough for them. They're always going to want more from you. And they probably don't care, like, if you're not fulfilled or that you're accomplishing some dream or that you have a successful business. They don't care. They just want you there.
But they do care if you're snapping at them all the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They do care if you're mean, if you're crying all the time, if you're having anxiety attacks, because that affects the way that you treat them.
Yes.
And so, because I think it's something that we say to justify it to ourselves, like we're working all the time because I want my kids to see I go after my dreams. Sometimes I have to think, am I going after my dreams? Like, because my dream is also to be a good mom. It's not just to have however many followers on whatever stupid social media platform.
Right.
And so I have to, like, take a step back. Like, right now, am I really doing this for my kids or am I really doing it for me? Am I doing it for me to be selfish or am I doing it for me to make myself the best possible version of myself? And that's a really, it's constantly, I'm like, I don't know.
Right. And you have to constantly reevaluate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think, again, like, you know, if you're trying to center your intentions and you're trying to be a good person and, you know, really that thought and sincerity is there, then you're probably doing it, doing the best you can. You're not just doing it to be a big a-hole. Like,
absolutely. No, I think that's really profound. I think that's
I'm very profound.
Because you're an extraordinary mom, Allison. That's what you are.
I am extraordinary.
I mean, and yeah, we've kind of already talked about it, but I mean, going back before you had kids, knowing what you know now, what would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Oh, what would I say? I probably know that I wouldn't listen.
If you could go back and make yourself a better listener at pre-motherhood self, no.
Yeah. You know what I would say is just get help sooner.
Mm.
I didn't get help soon enough. I let myself struggle for so long.
Mm.
I let myself be in so much pain. I let myself struggle and be tortured unnecessarily. Because I just should have gotten help sooner. I should have found a counselor sooner. I should have hired a babysitter sooner. I should have gotten a cleaning lady sooner.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's changed my life. All of these different ways that I've allowed myself to get help. I just felt so embarrassed that I couldn't do it the way I thought I was supposed to do it.
Or do it all.
Mm-hmm. I was so embarrassed and proud and prideful, and I let myself just not sleep for a couple of years and have anxiety attacks every single day for months on end.
Mm.
Just walking around with my skin crawling and my breath short all the time.
Yeah.
It's not that there were no moments of happiness or joy. Like, it wasn't like I was being fake if you saw me. Or I was posting stuff online. It's not that it wasn't sincere. It's just that like underlying anxiety and torture and pain was there for so long and it just didn't have to be. And so that's kind of my message always with the Allison Show and why I remind myself, like, why am I doing this? Why don't I just quit every single day? Like, I want to quit every week. How many times have I called you and said I'm quitting every week?
Yeah, exactly.
I have the same conversation over and over.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to, if I can encourage women, if I can encourage people that whatever you've got to do to be okay is okay.
Yeah.
then it's the message I sing all day long online. It's the message I sing in my dance parties.
Right.
And that's actually what I'd go back and tell myself is, stop suffering unnecessarily.
And what do you need to do to be the best version of yourself?
Yeah,
in
being happy.
Within the season that you're in.
Being happy is so important. And there was a time in college when I was really philosophical, I thought, and really smart and deep and reading all this philosophy. And I didn't think being happy was important. I thought,
wow,
I thought all these other things were important, but being happy was, what a silly pursuit, you know, like yeah. that was not what carried the most weight in this world. And man, when I'm happy, I can be pretty powerful. And, yeah. and I say that not to be self-congratulatory, but when other people are happy, they can be pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And it's not about just being blissfully happy all the time. It's about being, having peace, right? And being at peace with yourself. And I'm just so happy right now, coming off of having this baby and being so miserable and so depressed during my pregnancy, and then having so much anxiety after she was born, and not thinking that I could do it and just wanting to die. And that was just a couple weeks ago. And in these last couple weeks, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm happy. I'm so happy. And I'm sadder and unorganized and not getting work done. And and I'm so happy. And it's really important. And that's what I think I just want to tell moms. It's so important to try to be happy. And it of course, we're not going to be happy every minute of the day.
But it is accessible. If you are seeking after happiness, it is accessible in wherever you are.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
And it's okay to go through those points of hardship and depression and anxiety, because that's why I'm so happy right now, is because I was so depressed, right? And because I had so much anxiety and felt so terrible. So it's that bitter that brings the sweet, and that's okay. But I think we can get stuck in a rut where it's like, I just have to suck it up and endure this bitterness. And sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't.
Right.
You just don't.
Right.
You can figure out a way to get through it, or start, you know, one step in front of one foot in front of the other. And so I think that's, you know, that's my message, Jessica.
I think you have shared a very insightful message with the moms.
Well, thank you.
But on to more important things. I know that you need to share with the moms what they need to be watching on Netflix, because I know above planning parties and dance parties, Netflix is also high on your list.
It is. Netflix, for happiness, or any sort of binge television watching.
So it's like top three.
You know, I feel like Netflix has been letting me down a little bit lately, or maybe I've just watched everything that I wanted to watch.
I'm rewatching stuff. I'm like that desperate. I'm rewatching Veronica Mars right now.
Yeah.
So
what I'll say is there's a few series that I feel like if you haven't watched them, that your life can be better after watching them.
Okay.
And Veronica Mars.
Yes.
Is, and I don't know if it's on Netflix right now.
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Prime. Mm-hmm. So Veronica Mars is phenomenal. I also really, really like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I haven't done that one.
Here's the thing. It might not be for you. It might not be your cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I love the philosophical and internal struggle of good versus evil and becoming who you are and like having a calling in life, like those underlying themes that you find in Buffy the Vampire Slayer
and in Extraordinary Moms podcast, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like shows that examine those roles.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So
I see that.
I like that in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I just think it's purely enjoyable.
That's awesome.
Another show that I love, love, love is Freaks and Geeks. If you've never watched Freaks and Geeks, it's just a good show. Have you never watched
it? No. I don't know how I haven't.
I'm jealous that you've never watched it.
See, I totally feel that way after I'm done with the show. I'm like, oh, you get to watch it for the first time.
Yes.
That's so great.
We own that on DVD, the box set, and we take it to the hospital and watch it, like, in labor and after we have the baby. It's, like, our tradition with each baby.
Oh.
So I've just rewatched it. There's only a couple of seasons. It's just a really fun...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a really fun, good show. So those... I'm just going to say, like, I'm going to offer those ones as my, like, if you've never watched any of those shows, you should.
That's a good starting point.
Or at least try them.
No, that's a good starting point. Are you doing anything else... Do you have any other favorite things right now? I mean, obviously, you are a fountain drink connoisseur.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anything else that you're just loving right now? Books?
Okay, so my drink of choice right now is a Diet Coke with cranberry and lime.
Ooh.
And it's a delicious winter treat. I drink it all fall and winter long. That cranberry is just, you know, it's a seasonal flavor in my mind. I love it. Little bit crisp, not too sweet. I also really like if you can find a soda shop that has pomegranate.
Ooh.
Also delicious. Pomegranate and fresh lime in a Diet Coke. I like the Diet Coke because it's not as sweet as like a Diet Dr. Pepper or a Diet Pepsi.
Okay.
So that's my favorite. Also, at Sonic, if there's one near you, my new favorite thing is a diet limeade with strawberries.
Ooh.
Aspartame, if you don't like aspartame, because it's going to kill us all, it probably is. So, like, I'm going to die. But I like the diet because there's not the calories.
Right.
I like the limeade. There's no caffeine, so it's if it's at night.
Yeah.
And then, because I'm nursing. And the strawberries are like frozen strawberries, so they get all mushy and you slurp them up in your straw. It's very satisfying.
Ooh, delicious.
And so it has been my most favorite treat. Actually, right after I have a baby, I don't want soda, like caffeine soda.
Mm-hmm.
And so that diet limeade with strawberries.
Just really does it.
There was a week where I drove every single night to Sonic at like 9 o'clock. You can see on my Snapchat, I was like snapping me at Sonic every night, like, oh, you were good.
Well, and they used to have half price milkshakes after 8 p.m.
But
that promo is gone, and but it's kind of expensive when it's not half price, and so I made that mistake one time, like, oh, that ended like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, oh. And then it's like the internal struggle. Do I still get the milkshakes or...
It's hard.
These hard decisions we make as parents.
Life is so hard, you guys.
My
strawberry limeade or my Diet Coke. Like, what do I do? Wow, we've got it rough.
Oh, man.
Yes. Okay, what else?
Let's see. I don't know. We've covered a lot.
Did you get all the ones at the end?
Well, what's next? What's next for you, Allison? You have a baby on your shoulder, just
I have a
nestled.
Baby literally
you've
right
just
now on my shoulder.
You've just flashed the photography
I just
class.
Flashed a large chestal flash to all of the BYU students. Good old Brigham Young University.
Mm.
So for me, what I was saying to Jessica right before we started is. I have a new office space and I'm super excited about it. But it's kind of funny how it worked out is like, it ended up being ready like the day I gave birth. like really like, oh, hey, it's ready to move in. And they induced me 3 weeks early and I'm in labor.
And you're
right?
Like, well, I'm a little busy. Can't do it quite today.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was Christmas and then it was New Year's. And so I felt all this pressure. I'm paying rent. I need to go to the office. But then also I have a newborn. I need to enjoy my newborn. I have my other children who just have a new sibling. I need to be giving them attention. And so I kind of just was getting so overwhelmed. I didn't feel like doing anything, starting any new projects. But I also was getting very depressed being at home, just sitting on the couch with the newborn, appreciating her. Because obviously I'm not that great at that. And so I decided to just, like, essentially put on my exercise clothes, meaning I'm in the office, I'm going there for a few hours, I have Fiona with me, and by the time I get my computer out, nurse her, respond to a couple of the emails, it's almost time for me to go home.
Right.
And it can be kind of discouraging because I'm not really getting any work done, but I, like I said, I'm really happy right now, so obviously I'm doing something right.
Right.
I'm getting out of the house. I'm taking a break from having all three kids, which is, I get very overstimulated very easily, so I need that alone time to recharge. And having a newborn is a lot like having alone time, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I also make sure that at least once a day I get maybe like a 45-minute or hour break from having her with me, at least, so that I'm not just like a twosome all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not still pregnant, right?
Right.
Like... because again, I don't think that maybe some people might not need that as much as I need it just mentally and emotionally to have that break.
Right.
Like I'm still me without all these people wanting and needing stuff from me.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And then I'm better able to give when I'm back with them. So that's what I'm doing right now is I'm figuring out my new normal. I have a few projects I'm excited that I want to start and I'm being pretty slow about starting them, but I'm okay with it. I'm not trying
That's
to be okay
awesome.
With it. I'm actually being okay with it. So that's what I'm doing.
I love, I've seen you through a lot of different phases of your life, and this seems the healthiest I've seen you.
Thank you. Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah.
That's huge for you, because I feel like you are a really introspective person, and you've always been trying to find your best self and who you are and what your real calling is, and doing the work that you're really passionate about.
I feel like I still don't know what it is, and I get frustrated by that, you know?
But it's about the road to getting there. You're contributing along the way. Yeah. In every aspect of your life. It's not about that destination and like, yep, this is the big boom. Like, this is the moment.
Yeah.
It's about what you're doing, who you're becoming along the way, and what you're contributing to those around you along the way as well.
Yeah. And I feel like part of, thank you. That's very sweet of you. And I feel like, you know what? I think part of, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing is struggling and sharing the struggle
because the struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Uh-huh. And I have a knack for doing it because, like I said, very naturally for me, I do it naturally. I share the struggle naturally and it doesn't bother me. And it's not like something where I had to read Brené Brown and learn how to be vulnerable. I started reading that book and I love that everybody loves it so much. Like, good for them. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I do this to a point where I actually need to learn how to not do it. So
you have to, like, undo it, reverse introspection. Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure I could still get a lot of things from reading the book in its entirety, but I'm just saying, like, I do it to a fault. So, that's like, I had to put it down because I was like, not one more person needs to tell me they want more vulnerability from me because I'm about to, like, bleed myself dry for these people. So
stop the waterworks. Reverse.
I'm like, I'm already dripping my veins out over the whole of the internet sharing. I can't do it anymore. People.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I think people love you, in social media because you are so vulnerable and you share all the different aspects of your life. And, I really admire you as a mom because you are just doing the very best you can with each new addition, whether it's an addition to your business, an addition to your family, in addition to, you know, how you're feeling and, you know, all those different things. And you are a loyal friend all along the way. So I just adore you, Allison. And
I love you.
Oh gosh, I wish I could squeeze little Fiona. I don't know when we're going to be in the same place again, but we need to make it happen.
Make it happen. But here's the thing that people need to know about you is, as they're listening to your podcast, is the Beaches song, You're the Wind Beneath My Wings. you sang that at our high school graduation, but, like, not to discount you and what you do, I mean, that is you. You are the wind beneath everybody's wings, and I'm the one, you know, dancing like an idiot and throwing the huge parties, but, I mean, you're the one with all the strength and the wisdom and insight. And I'm just so excited for people to get to hear that from you and be exposed to that because you're the one that people should be listening to. So I'm really excited for you. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope people find out about the podcast because I know that these stories from moms of all walks of life, there's so much we can learn from each other. And the more we celebrate each other and learn from each other, the better we can be ourselves.
Yeah, so. And I'm so excited because I feel like you're a perfect person to share those stories.
Thank you.
I'm excited.
I love you, Allison. Thank you for being here. And, of course, I'll put in the show notes all the places that people can find you if this is the first time they're ever hearing about you, which I don't know how that's physically possible in this day and age. But if you want to behold the dancing, especially the pregnant dancing. No babies were harmed in the making of this video. That is the funny.
See,
Fiona is evidence that she's perfectly healthy despite the pregnant dancing that you saw online. You're the best. I love you so much, and thanks for sharing and for being so vulnerable. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
How much do you love Allison? I had such a blast talking with her and catching up, and of course, seeing little baby Fiona. We'll post a picture of her on the website. But I just want to thank Allison from The Allison Show for being with us in this episode. And again, if you like what you hear, please head over to iTunes, look up The Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and click subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. We'll have a new episode coming out every Tuesday. And we just look forward to sharing more mom stories. So I hope you all have a great day. I look forward to seeing you next week.